Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Eric from Let's Talk Shark, a new type of podcasting that solely deals with shark-human interaction. It's summer again. A lot of people go to the beach. And of course, once in a while, you ask yourself, what would I have to do when a shark shows up? Or if you see a shark, well, then what do you really do? So shark-human interaction and this podcast will give answers to that. I'm Eric Ritter, head of Shark School. I'm with the University of Florida, and I'm a shark behaviorist. More accurately, an experimental shark behaviorist. That means I create experiments to figure out the behavior of sharks in a broader frame called shark-human interaction. I have a PhD in behavioral ecology, so I'm interested in influences, in environmental influences that determines a behavior. So we humans influence the behavior of sharks. Sharks influence us humans. But then again, you may have low visibility. You may have a lot of waves that will have an effect on us, on them. So this is what we really want to talk about. So the whole podcast, which I plan to do one per week. So each Monday morning, US time, well, check in and you will see a new podcast. Four different types of podcasts is what I'm planning to do. One, of course, deals with bites. It's called Bite Affairs. Why do sharks bite on rare occasions? That's not a mystery. We know pretty much why a shark bites. We know what kind of situations have to come together that a shark actually bites. One thing for sure, a shark does not bite because it's hungry. That is just not the case. But why does a shark bite? Most of the time, it's exploration, trying to figure out what's going on. But then again, you know, may not see the shark approaching. So how do you know, or how can you assume a shark is close by? Well, we call it the constellation of factors. When certain factors come together, chances are the probability that a shark is close by is increased. So that's what will be the topics of bite affairs. Of course, if we deal with bite affairs, then we will talk to anything but bite affairs. Anything but is really what shark-human interaction is all about. How do we communicate with these sharks? How do sharks communicate with us? How do we signal? How do they signal? How do they most likely interpret our signaling? How does human sounds affect a shark's approach pattern? What is an approach pattern? What is a shark's state that he may approach or not? Sharks are most of the time very hesitant, cautious animals, but once in a while, we have them right in our face. So why? And then, of course, how do I have to react? I will talk about these recommendations in pretty clear words. And I guarantee you, if you know or if you do what is necessary, how you really have to deal with a shark, I guarantee nothing's going to happen. And most of the time, nothing's going to happen anyway because sharks are not dangerous. Sharks are, if you use super and top predators, are in density. Sharks are the most harmless super and top predators on our planet, over 50 kilograms, over 100 pounds. It's a fact. We have between 60 and 100 incidents with sharks. I'm talking about incidents, not even attacks. Because attack is pretty much a misnomer. An attack means a conscious attempt to do harm. No shark wants to harm us. So we have a handful of fatal incidents per year. But it's not that the shark saw a swimmer on surface and said, oh, okay, I'm going to harm him because I don't like what he's doing. No, that doesn't happen. So we'll talk about this. Then, of course, I like to talk about a topic that I call back in time. Back in time. For example, we all know Jaws, but do you know how Jaws really turned into a book? Do you know the basics or how Peter Benchley actually came across the white shark that he portrayed? Or who was Spielberg back when? It was Jaws 1 was his second movie. So we will talk about that. Of course, I will talk about the first documented shark bite. We talk about sharks in the First World War, Second World War. We talk about, for example, Black December and all these other incidents. Then another topic is the research under the microscope. That's not so much what generally goes on, because, you know, I will talk about environmental factors, including slaughtering of sharks. I will talk about that, but not with regards to research. When I talk research, I really would like to give you an idea what currently goes on beyond anatomy and physiology. Okay, we dissect some of the papers that I think are important to shark-human interaction, important to a general understanding of sharks, and yeah, well, let's see what's out there on a daily, on a weekly, on a monthly basis. Well, this is what I like to offer, but chances are you have a question and you don't know when I will get to that answer in my podcasts or in my blogs. Well, send me an email on Let's Talk Shark, and you have the chance to tell me exactly what you're interested in, and I will answer it. You may not be able to answer it right away in an upcoming podcast, but what I'm going to do is I'll answer you personally to satisfy what you like to know, because chances are you're going to a beach pretty soon and you like to know what to do. So where do I podcast from? Well, my base is Pensacola, Florida, the Gulf of Mexico. That's where I live. So, but since I'm on the road 9 months out of the year, I will most likely record my shows anywhere where I'm at. So chances are it originates from Galapagos, Malpelo, Cocos, Fiji, Azores, Red Sea, Maldives, Malapascua, all the great places where you have plenty of sharks. And of course, because I'm out there, you know, I will be among sharks. And chances are I see something new or something funny, or we had a great encounter, or I was giving a lecture on a topic that I think, well, we should share that. So that is where these podcasts will come from, and why it's going to be so much fun. So anyway, send me your questions if you have anything remotely related to shark-human interaction. And when you start thinking about it, pretty much everything or anything you want to know is about shark-human interaction. Shark-human interaction is a very new field of research. I grew up in Switzerland, so I was kind of naive. When I came to the U.S. end of the 80s, I thought, wow, you know, if I can work at the University of Miami, where all these shark experts are, well, I can really do a lot on shark-human interaction. But hey, I woke up pretty fast realizing no one really jumped in the water and tried to figure it out, like similar to dogs or cats or horses, how they communicate or interact with humans. No, I mean, the only thing where humans got involved with sharks were basically after bites. So that was not really helpful. So in the early 90s, I decided to spearhead this new field of research, shark-human interaction. But as with everything new, I didn't really know where to start. I needed a frame. So the first thing I realized was, okay, sharks approach us in some manner, so we have to get some swim patterns going. And this was the time when the first video cameras showed up. So back when, I could not just tape a shark, a videotape, record a shark, and then look at it on my laptop. And that didn't work that way, you know. This was back with the VHS tapes, so it was kind of cumbersome to get going. But nevertheless, I was so excited, I just started somehow. I videotaped sharks among sharks, sharks among humans, me seeing sharks, and tried to figure out how they approach. Of course, then the next question was, how is the weather affecting a shark? The visibility, and on, how do different people create different reactions in sharks? And what happened in the year 2000, I started to, for the first time, announced the shark-human interaction concept, Adore Sane. And I still remember when I presented that paper, it did not really go that well. So I will talk about Adore Sane, and you will see that this concept really works, that you're actually able to look at a situation and understand what goes on. Why is the shark approaching? What kind of motivation does he have? What kind of factors lured the shark in? How does a situation sit like the surface, the bottom, the visibility, influence the situation I'm in. Because chances are, I'm going to be afraid. Why am I afraid of sharks? Well, we don't really, no one is born with the fear of sharks. We learn that when we're kids. 4, 6, 8 years old, we are exposed to stories, TV, pictures about sharks, and we learn to be afraid of sharks. So if you learn to be afraid of sharks, you can de-learn. So I will, we'll go into this de-learning thing. And if you check us out on the website, Let's Talk Shark, you will see there are some links to the Shark School. What we actually do in the Shark School is we teach people how to interact and communicate with sharks. And you will find a lot of hints and recommendations there. You can download the PDFs, do's and don'ts. But hey, we will talk about this here on the podcast. And I really go way beyond of what you can download. I really give you the nitty-gritty, why a shark does what he does. And of course, we will go into differences. I mean, we're talking here, bull shark, a tiger shark, a white shark. That's supposedly sharks who bite the most. But you know what? It's likely another shark called the black tip. But I say a shark, black tip, I say a species. I don't really mean the species as such. I mean, let's assume the white shark really bites. It is not white sharks per se, but it's individuals belonging to the species of white sharks. The majority of white sharks would never, ever even come close to human beings before when they see it. They don't know what we are, they're afraid, they take off. The threshold of hesitation in a regular shark is very, very high. So chances are you were in the water, the shark was there as well, but you didn't even get a glimpse of that thing. So shark-human interaction is a very, very excited field of research, and it's a great tool for conservation. Why is that? Well, it's pretty simple. What we fear, we destroy. It's easy to protect Bambi. Panda bears. It's easy because they're cuddly. They're cute. Shark is not cuddly and cute, nor cute. So we keep killing them. Yes, we have some new laws. It's prohibited to fin a shark, but is this really enough to protect sharks? No, it's not. The killing, the slaughtering of sharks is the biggest ecological time bomb of our time. So we have to defuse this time bomb when there's still some time left. Some people say there's no much time left, and we already have it after 12 o'clock. It's not 5 to 12, it's after 12. So it doesn't mean we should give up. Well, definitely not. We still have to try to protect what's still out there. But we can't protect because we don't like them. People don't like sharks. I love sharks. Others do too, but our voices are too small. Everybody who has experienced sharks realizes they can't be what the media presents to us, what they are different. So yes, everybody can go out and shout to the crowd, hey, sharks are not dangerous. They are not dangerous. The situations that are dangerous. But to protect them on a worldwide basis is only possible if we all stand up for the rights of these animals. And shark-human interaction is really at the core. Because once we realize, despite that you jumped in with a shark, that you hang out with a shark, you haven't been bitten, you realize they're not dangerous. So this negative image that sharks have will be destroyed. So this is what shark-human interaction is all about. And this is what my podcasting will be all about. It will be about understanding sharks, knowing what they do, looking for signals, looking for factors. And this is how we want to talk about these animals. I go into different fields, as I just mentioned. I go really, really into details and try to send me things you like to know. Because although I know I'm going to cover something maybe down the road in 6 months, but maybe you want to need it now, contact me. Go on my website. Send me an email. Let me know what you really like to know. Of course, some of you have seen Shark Week on Discovery Channel. They know me. I have been bitten pretty badly by a bull shark. So you may ask, how can a guy who has been bitten by a bull shark, nearly died, now go out there and say, hey, they're not dangerous? Well, I can because, well, first of all, I was there. But we know when a situation is dangerous. So we try to take precautions. And one precaution that I used was a spotter. A person with his only job was to tell me when a shark comes from behind, what direction, and how close. That's all this person had done. Well, the person did not do his job, and the shark did what I tried to prevent with a spotter and bit me. So we will talk about my bite, and I will be bluntly honest what happened that day, how I felt. So I use my bite to explain what goes on with sharks. And, you know, it is still like it was firefighters. I know some pretty good firefighters, but they have been burned. It's part of the business. So just because someone has been bitten does not mean he has no understanding. Well, most of the time they have a much better understanding. Of course, firefighters do. So do I. So when I talk about sharks, I talk about bites. I know both sides. So check in and see what else I have to say. It is really going to be very exciting and it will be a lot of fun. So have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment. And remember, it is a privilege.